And I want to preach a message today entitled, Can You See It? Everyone say, Can You See It? And I want to talk about the difference between sight and vision. And I want to just fortify our church's vision. I want to highlight some of our next steps. And then I want to inspire you with the vision God has for your life, because everyone is someone to Jesus. And he does have a vision for your life. No one is left out. And before we do that, I want to talk about and celebrate Juneteenth. We have a special video to show you today. But when our forefathers wrote the Declaration of Independence, it's probably one of the greatest literary works of our time, of human history, because really today, over 80% of the world do not have access to the freedoms that we have. Some of my good friends today, we text on WhatsApp, are pastoring amazing churches in countries that don't have the freedom that I have. And so I take, awareness of the blessing that I have. In that Declaration of Independence, the idea was for our nation that all people are created equal and that everyone would have the chance to be free. And our country didn't live up to that for a lot of years. And Juneteenth is a celebration of the aspect of slavery being totally revoked and broken in our nation, and how important this is now, a federal holiday, and how it's important that we celebrate this, because it's needed that we live up to our ideals, isn't it? And the Declaration of Independence. And in Christ, on a spiritual sense, he sets us free too. So we can have freedom in our nation, and in Jesus, we can have freedom in our spirit, our soul, and our body. So it's important that we honor and celebrate and remember this holiday, and remember our ideals and our culture and our vision and where we're going. So check out this video.
Rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal.
On June 19, 1865, in Texas, freedom did finally arrive. Federal troops brought forth the decree, ensuring that every enslaved soul was free. In 2021, Congress did say, Juneteenth is a National Independence Day. We honor this date. We honor the fight for justice, for freedom, for what is right. Because of Jesus, we understand. His sacrifice broke every chain by his hand. We celebrate justice. We celebrate the release. For our God is a God of justice and peace. Here at City Church, we take a stand to break down oppression across this land. In truth and in action, we proclaim hope in Jesus, breaking every chain. Ephesians speaks of unity, of barriers torn, of peace and love in hearts reborn. And on this Juneteenth, we lift our voice. In freedom and justice, we rejoice.
Amen. That's important to God, and it's important to us. If you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. I'm going to read one verse, and then I'm going to unpack that, and I'll read a few more verses as I get into the message today. And I want to encourage you with this idea, can you see it? And as I'm speaking today, no matter where you're at in life or where you're at in the journey of your faith, I want you to know that God has put you here on purpose. No one is by accident. Doesn't matter how your mom and dad got together, you are here on purpose. And God has a purpose and a vision for your life that's beyond just existing and maybe making it through, getting to heaven by the skin of your teeth. There's something more than that. There's destiny on the inside of you in Jesus that will impact your family tree, impact your present life, and in the generations to come, and in eternity. I believe that. How about you today? I believe that Jesus has that for all of us in this room and online. Very simple verse, but very profound verse. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. Paul said, the Apostle Paul said this, for we live by believing and not by seeing. King James Version says, we walk by faith, not by sight. So, Father, I thank you so much for this great gathering. Please receive our worship today. And we ask you for more Holy Spirit in this place. Please keep us safe in this moment as we go about our week. And I pray that all of us would have the courage to lay down resistance, set aside distractions, lean in for a few moments, receive your word, and then apply your word to our lives. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. Probably my favorite quote for leadership outside of scripture is this: the only thing worse than being blind is having sight but no vision. Helen Keller said that. A woman that was born blind. A woman that was born with several physical challenges and setbacks, but had an insight to the power of vision that is beyond sight. I pray today that all of you have good eyesight, but I pray even more so that all of us have vision for our lives and that you receive the vision that God has for you, because sight and vision are not the same thing. Sight is the blessing of seeing what's in front of you and taking that in moment by moment, day by day. But vision is seeing what is not there and seeing what could be if someone would dare to believe. And so I have two succinct points today. The first point is sight. Everyone say sight, please. Sight. The Bible says in Proverbs 20, verse 12, ears to hear and eyes to see, both are gifts from the Lord. Sight is a blessing. In fact, I saw a woman, I was praying with a group of people over a young lady in Kenya, and she was born blind, and I have no need to exaggerate this, but I saw this, I witnessed this. We prayed over her, a group of us prayed over her, and God opened her eyes. She began to scream because she could see light and images for the first time in her life. God opened the blind eyes. Isn't that amazing? God does miracles today. And sight, our sight should not be taken for granted. Sight enables us to see what's in front of us, take in pictures, take in moments, be able to see our friends and loved ones. See the beauty of nature. See where we're going. See where we're at. Enjoy food. Enjoy clothing. Enjoy furniture. Enjoy everything through our eyes. Sight is so important that Jesus said that if your eyes are clean, your whole body is clean. Think about that. Jesus said if your eyes are clean, your whole body is clean. So our eyes, the eyesight that we have, is a window into the soul, and it's impacting us more than we realize. So the eyes are powerful. God blesses us with eyesight to take in the moments and to not take for granted the people and the area and the things that he's given to us. I want to encourage all of us to have maybe a conviction or a discipline to look less at our phone screens and look at the people around us and take in the surroundings and the moments that we have, because eyesight is a beautiful thing and it's given to us by God. And yet eyesight, even though it's powerful, as Jesus said, if our eyes are clean, our whole body is clean. Eyes have the ability to take in all the things I just mentioned. Eyesight is limited. In fact, our eyesight is basically limited on what we see. So whatever we see in front of us, that is what we get. When Summer and I were just on our anniversary trip, and I have a picture. I got to see the sun go down over the ocean, and it was a fascinating a sight to see it go down looking like it just, you know, went into the ocean. But the colors of the sun hitting the ocean, it was a fascinating scene. And I took a picture of it that I want to get it framed as a memory of our trip. But even that moment, and it was a beautiful thing, I was limited by the picture itself. The picture was fascinating, but that's all I saw, nothing more. So eyesight is a gift. But this is why the Apostle Paul said, we don't live by what we see. We live by what we believe. In the limitation of our eyesight, you and I are dictated by what is in front of us. So for example, if the picture that we see is good, then we are good. If the picture is bad, then we're bad. If the picture we're seeing is full of chaos, then chaos usually impacts us. If the picture that we see is unsteady and full of just, you know, drama, then that usually impacts us. And the problem with that is that if you and I live by what we see, you and I will be a human roller coaster. How many like roller coasters? Anybody like roller coasters? Summer and I, one of our worst fights in marriage happened at Kings Island. And we were, it was, I'm not going to do all that, but we finally got on this roller coaster. This thing was, in fact, Kings Island since has taken this roller coaster down and totally removed it. But we got on this roller coaster finally, and it jerked me, my head, neck, moving every which way, back sore, frustrated at her. It was all her fault, mad at the whole situation. And this guy in front of me was on the roller coaster, and at the minute the ride started, he started cussing the whole time, out loud. And he was saying every word you can think of saying. And I was thinking, cuss for me. Please cuss, because I hate this ride. I hate this day. And then I blessed him. Father, forgive him. He don't know what he does. Amen. Boom. Oh, man. Roller coasters are fun. They usually last 30 seconds to a minute, maybe two. They're fun for that moment. Could you imagine living every day on a roller coaster? It's not sustainable. You're not going to be in a place of thriving or prospering in your life because of the ups and downs and the constant turns and upheaval of that ride. You and I are not made to live on as a human roller coaster. But if we live by what we see, we will be a human roller coaster, up and down, day to day, up, down, all around, going by what's happening with our eyesight. This is why Paul said we live by believing. When you and I live by believing, we thank God for what we see. We process what we see, but we don't base our life, hear me, by what we see. We base our life on what we believe in Jesus. And you and I, Jesus said to a wise man, takes his teachings and builds his house on the rock. And when the storms come, his house will stand. So you and I have a choice to make. Everyone in this room and online, we're constantly tempted to do life only by what we see. But the Bible says we don't do it that way. In Jesus, we are to live by what we believe in him, and good pictures will come, bad pictures will come. But when they come, we can be steady because of what we believe in Jesus. Can someone say amen? Let's give Jesus praise real quick. He's our constant friend. I don't know what picture you're seeing today. Some of you are seeing pictures that are of heartache and tragedy. Some of you are seeing pictures of a loss of a dream. You're seeing pictures of success and fulfillment and joy. Some of you are seeing pictures of a great challenge, a great mountain that you don't know how you're going to scale it. No matter what you're seeing today, Jesus has the ability to ground you in his word, in his person, and help you get through this and get on the other side, because greater is he that is in you than what you're seeing around you. God, if God be for you, who in the world can be against you? So that's sight. Sight is a gift, but we don't base our life on sight. We base it on what we believe. And here's the second thought. Everyone say vision. We live by believing. Our faith, God moves by vision. In fact, vision is so powerful. In Proverbs, the Bible says, if you don't have a vision, you will cast off restraint. In other words, if you don't have a vision for your life, you won't have any boundaries. And God wants to give you and I vision that's beyond what we see, to help us have constraint and focus and purpose that keeps us away from danger and keeps us focused on what God wants to do in our lives. This is what he is saying here, the writer, the Apostle Paul. He's saying we live by believing. This allows us in vision. When we have a vision, vision allows us to see what could be. Vision fuels the creativity on the inside of us. Vision inspires a dream and an opportunity. Vision, it shows us what can be done and what needs to be done. When you saw that video just a minute ago, you saw Dr. King and a clip of his famous speech, I Have a Dream. And when you heard, as you hear that speech, he's articulating with words a dream and a vision for America that did not exist at that time. He was seeing all things around him that were opposite of what he was saying in that speech. And the power of that speech is how it moves us to dream and see with him. His vision, it still speaks today. In fact, if you know the story of that speech, just real quick, he practiced that speech at Aretha Franklin's father's church in Detroit, Michigan. And his original speech was very political, very policy-driven, policy-based. And he practiced that. And then when he got to Washington to do the speech, he was starting it. And if you study, every year I watch the speech with my kids. We just watch through the whole thing. And if you watch it, he's going through the speech that he practiced in Detroit with Pastor Franklin. And he's going through it. And then Mahalia Jackson, a great gospel singer, is in the crowd or in the stands behind him. And what people don't hear is that she says halfway through the speech, "Tell him the dream, Martin." In other words, change course here. Tell him the dream. And then a second time she says, "Tell him the dream, Martin." And then all of a sudden he shifts and he quotes a verse out of the book of Amos, and the rest of that speech is totally ad-lib. "I have a dream." And it's out of his spirit, out of his soul, and we are catapulted to this place of seeing the dream that he gave. That's the power of a vision. And God wants you and I to have vision for our lives. Did you hear what I said? God wants you and I to have vision for our lives. In fact, God's plan for your life is beyond what you see right now. Your marriage may be in trouble, but God has a vision for your marriage that's greater than what you see. Your kids may be in trouble, but God has given you those kids, and they are called by God's name to do something great for his glory. Do you hear what I'm saying? You may see sickness in your body, but God has a vision for your body that's beyond your sickness. God has a purpose for your life. So whatever it is, the vision of God for us is beyond what we see. It's reaching for impossibilities. It's reaching for a dream. It's reaching for the kingdom of God to come through and do something profound in us. As a matter of fact, here's what the Apostle Paul said about this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 10. "That is what the scriptures mean when they say, 'No eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him.' But it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit." Notice, our eyes haven't seen it, our minds haven't imagined it, but God revealed it by the Spirit. "For his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets." What I'm saying is the vision, our eyesight is obvious, and we're seeing maybe different things. But the vision God has for us, our eyes haven't seen it, and our mind hasn't imagined it, but by the Holy Spirit, he gives us a vision that you and I can see beyond the pictures of our eyes, and we can grab a hold of something beyond and say, "God can do something in my life that's beyond my degree, beyond my ability, beyond my problems, beyond my family tree, beyond my issues. God can do something great." How many believe that God can do something great? I want to encourage you today, God has something for your life. And a matter of fact, the most dangerous person in our society is the person that has no vision and that has no hope. Because that person will hurt anybody, including themselves, because they have no reason to live. And that's the devil, that's not God. Everyone is someone to Jesus. And God has given you and me, rich, poor, single, married, white, black, it doesn't matter who we are or where we come from. You have a vision from God in your life, and God wants to do it. This is why the devil attacks marriages, and he attacks men, and he attacks women, and he attacks us as children, and he attacks us all throughout our lifetime, because he's trying to stop us from doing the vision God has. He's afraid of you. The devil's afraid of you. The devil's afraid of you doing what God has called you to do. So we get hit and we get hurt, then we blame God, and we get mad at God, and we get mad at people, and our daddy did this, and our mom did this, and they did this, and they did that, and so we get all bitter. But God wants to change all that. Yes, people hurt us, but that's the enemy trying to take us out. But God has a plan to keep us in, and the vision for your life is beyond the pain. Hear me, God will use your pain for his purpose in your life. He'll use your story for his glory. I'm not trying to be cute with words. I'm trying to tell you what God wants to do in your life. He can do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power of God. Whether you come from a gated neighborhood or from the ghetto, or you're on the street, God can do a miracle in your life. He can bring you out and he can take you in. God can lift you up and he can take you down. And when God's in your life, miracles can happen through you. Come on, give Jesus praise. I feel like preaching today. Come with me. God has a vision for your life and family. Hallelujah. Two cups of coffee and Jesus will take you a long way. Are you with me? What's the vision for this church? God has a vision for our church and God has a vision for your life. And I want to talk about the church and we'll talk about your life. God has blessed our church so much. I was thinking this morning in my prayer time about the old building, the original building, and when I started there in 1999 full-time, living in my parents' basement with no pay, doing everything I could, toilet cleaning, mowing the lawn, cleaning closets, watching children as they climbed on my back on Wednesday night as my father preached about 20 people upstairs for Bible study. Moving in faith and believing God can do something great. Thinking about different moments and memories and how God made a way and brought us to this point. Right now, our church is experiencing the best year of its existence in terms of group participation, attendance on the weekends, in person and online, our youth group, our city kids, all the things, financially stable. But this is not the end. I don't have a desire just to kind of coast through my profession and just kind of take it easy because there's people that need Jesus. In fact, last time I studied this, there's 93,000 unchurched people in our city, and every one of them is someone to Jesus, and he's trying to reach them. Don't be offended when I say this. I don't believe God has called churches to be good Baptist, Catholics, or Methodists, or Episcopals, or Pentecostal churches. He's called us to be his people who go about doing good, showing the power of God, and reaching for people. And I bless all denominations. I can worship with anybody that lifts up Christ. I'm not here to put them down. I'm just saying that the vision for our lives and our church is not to be a good, you know, whatever it is, and, you know, batten down the hatches and protect our turf and us four and no more. That's not the vision of God. When people are lost and dying and going to eternity without Jesus, heaven is real and hell is real. And you and I have Christ, and you and I can give Christ away. We can't save anybody, but we can show somebody who can save them and deliver them and heal them. And he comes through our acts and our faith. And so we're going back to three services on August 18th and making more room, maximizing our building, maximizing everything we can. But really, building here on our property is really probably out of the question. The way the county has restricted green space, the back of our property here has sinkholes. So building anymore is probably going to be really, I would say, challenging and really expensive. This is why, one reason why, and to expand, is why we're going downtown in the downtown area with our downtown campus. This campus will be an extension of our Healing Hands Outreach Ministry. I've seen this in my heart. It's going to be called the Hope Building, an acronym for helping other people every day. We're going to go from our current location, which is limited in space, limited in square footage, where we give feud. We're not giving feuds away. We're giving food away, food distribution. God, we give food out almost every day. Last month, I heard we fed 700 families. We give clothes, we give essential items, people that have been burned out of their home or have had devastation, we help them get back on their feet. When we get more space, we can add furniture, add appliances, and it's all for free. And we can give things to people and help people in need because everyone is someone to Jesus. And as we have downtown this a facility, which I'm believing for, it will increase that function, and then we'll have an auditorium and City Kids Wing where we'll have weekend experiences happening downtown at the same time we're having them here. And the goal is that through our efforts through Healing Hands and our partners, that every day of the year we will give something away to someone in need. In fact, our partners right now, the orphanage, those that run the orphanage in Greene County, in the neighboring county, 80% of those children that are orphans in our area have been sex trafficked, and they're having a chance to escape. They're in our community. We pay the rent, and they use it rent-free because I don't want them to worry about money. I want them just to go ahead and rescue more kids. Can someone say amen to that? The Sojourn House. The Sojourn House, which is a ministry that helps older teenagers and adult women that have been sex trafficked. Just 2 weeks ago, there was, through our police They exposed a situation where two women were forced to be sex workers in our city, and those women have been freed. We're going to support Sojourn House. Our recovery groups will be downtown. Our adult education will be downtown, helping adults get a GED and a diploma, helping them have work skills to move forward in life and get ahead of life, if you will, instead of being behind the eight ball, so to speak. We're going to do all these things to be the hands and feet of Jesus, to help people that are overlooked, underserved. Our mobile medical unit is in Bloomington right now, twice a week, giving free ultrasounds and medical attention to women that are not treated or that are overlooked or in dangerous situations. We're serving them and helping them. And this is the heart of Jesus, to do more to win people to Christ. Then we want to have a campus on the far west side. And because we're limited here with our space on that far west side campus, I want to build a gymnasium. I want the youth to have as much room as they need, with an auditorium and a space for concerts and sporting events, even hosting sporting events for the city of Bloomington if we need to, and having room for teenagers to come, unchurched teenagers to come and find safety and refuge and to be saved and to find Jesus. I am committed. I want you to know that we're going to invest thousands of dollars every year into the next generation, and we will increase that every year, because that is important to God. They are the now generation. Hear what I'm saying? They are the now generation. And we're going to make it easy for children and teenagers and young adults to serve Jesus and see them raised up and see them say yes to God and impact the generations to come. Can someone say amen? That's what we're going to do. That far west side will have that for the youth. Then they'll have an auditorium, City Kids Wing. They'll have services on the far west side. At the same time, we have services here. In fact, if you have a teenager, make them go to camp at the end of July. You need a week off from your teenager. Make them go and let Pastor Cam have them for a week. He'll take care of them. But I'm serious. Have your teenager go to camp. If you need help financially, we have scholarship programs. Our youth had encounters with God that changed their lives forever. It's at the end of July. Look it up at the Welcome Center, at City Central, the Welcome Center, or find information. Please take your kids and go. We want to expand Heart for the House. Heart for the House is our outreach funds where we do good here in our community and around the world. My dad is preaching at 12 o'clock today in Kenya, and a mass evangelism effort in front of multiplied thousands of people. Thousands will receive Christ tonight, and thousands will be healed, because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Pastor Cam, our youth pastor, is there with him. I had a video of Pastor Cam praying he was praying over the orphans that we support there, that we help rescue. And he got to meet them. I'm telling you, folks, we're doing a lot of stuff in this area and around the world using our prayers, our faith, and our finances to show who Jesus is. And I believe there needs to be more. I'm telling you, people need Jesus. And God has called us to go into all the world and preach the gospel and see people come to Jesus and to be the light or the light of the world in the hands and feet of Jesus. I don't have it in me to be a church that's defensive and argumentative and putting down people and blasting other churches and being critical all the time. We don't have time for that. Someone's going to receive Jesus. There's going to be a drug addict that's going to be delivered and saved. A millionaire is going to be delivered and saved. A drug dealer is going to be delivered and saved. A homeless person is going to be delivered and saved. A corrupt politician is going to be saved. God's going to save the uttermost to the guttermost. And he's waiting on you and I to be the hands and feet and the light of the world. And I'm determined to lead our church into growth and multiplication in campuses, not to brag about our size, but to win the lost and see heaven filled with people serving Jesus. Can a city be saved? Can a state be changed? Can a nation be turned around? You best believe it can. And it's waiting for you and I to pray and seek God and say, God, use me for your glory. We can do it in Jesus' name. I said, we can do it in Jesus' name. We don't have time to play games. Too many people are dying, but God's coming to his church and someone's going to be saved. Come on, give Jesus praise. Your family's going to be saved. Your son, your daughter, your uncle, your mom, your dad, your neighborhood, they can be saved. God can do anything, anytime, anywhere, for anyone. He just needs someone to believe and say, God, use me. Hallelujah. I want you to think about this verse in Numbers chapter 10. I got one more hour to go. Numbers chapter 10. I'm just kidding. My mom's still standing. You can sit down, Mom. Thank you for standing. Numbers chapter 10, verse 31. Moses told a man named Hobab. He said, "Will you go into the promised land with us?" And in Numbers 10, 31, Moses said, "We need your eyes." This is not about me and Summer. This is about our collective church. We need your eyes. He was telling Hobab, "Will you go with us and see the promised land? We need your eyes to help us see it and take it and do what God's called us to do." Do you know that everyone is someone to Jesus in the local church? From the back row to the front row, from the street to the seat teams, the parking team, shuttle team, to the worship team. Everyone is someone and has equal part to play. We need your eyes, church. See it with me. Close your eyes naturally, even the spirit of your eyes, and see someone in your family come to Jesus. See your neighbor come to Jesus. Oh, yeah, see your boss come to Jesus and give you a promotion. Hallelujah. See a drug addict come to Jesus. See families restored and men love their wives and wives love their husbands. Children being redeemed from the plot of the devil. See it with me. Can God do something? Oh, yes, he can. He needs someone to believe. That's why we live by believing and not by seeing. To see what is possible through the eyes of faith. We need your eyes. I want to encourage you. We need your eyes to believe with us and pray with us. That's why we're having prayer tonight at 5 p.m. Listen, the NBA is over. Boston has won. Praise God. The sporting things have slowed down. Tonight at 5 o'clock is a great time to come to church and pray. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven. I will come down and heal their land. So at 5 o'clock, 5 to 6, we have monthly prayer gatherings. I want to encourage you to come and pray with us tonight. Pray for your vision, for your life. Pray for our heart here at City to do more for Jesus. We need your eyes on the dream team. Join the dream team. Join a group. Lead a group. Be a giver of tithes and offerings into Healing Hands. Join the outreach team. We need your eyes to be a part of what God is doing. This is not about me or anybody. This is about Jesus getting glory. In fact, I've increased my prayer time every morning. I have to have a certain regimen just to do it, but I'm increasing my prayer time because I feel the heart of God coming through me, and I want you to join me and see it with me. Oh, Moses told Hobab, "We need your eyes," and I'm telling you, we need your eyes. God wants to use your eyes for your glory. But this is not just about City Church. This is about you. God has a vision for your life. The devil comes and he takes away purpose. He causes us to peck like chickens on the ground, pecking at different things. Gossip and envy and jealousy and strife and dividing over American politics and getting really worked up about things that have no eternal consequence. And he causes us, the devil, causes you and I to peck the ground like a chicken when the Bible is clear that his people are called to be eagles and to fly and to soar with God. I was at a conference this week with my family for pastors and their kids, and it was interesting. They did something I'd never seen before. We had some downtime, so we were at the pool late in the afternoon, and these birds were coming to eat the food of the people at the pool. And so they hired this man to come around, and he just stayed there for hours, and he had a massive hawk on his arm. Thing was huge. He just would walk around, and when those little birds would see that hawk, they would fly away and get out of sight because he would kill them. And they were cleaning out the area, and he was cleaning out the area with this bird that knew exactly who it was. The thing was as stoic and calm and confident, and those little birds were fluttering away, chirping, go up into the trees and get out of there as fast as they could. And I thought, this is what God hasn't called us to be, a little birdie chirping on the ground. He's called us to be an eagle cleaning the area with the gospel and making a difference in social needs. I'm not waiting for politicians to solve social issues. God has empowered the church to see the drug addict in really every situation. I just mentioned one thing, but every situation, no matter what it is, people can come to Jesus and not only be set free of a symptom or a habit or a situation, but be healed and saved and redeemed all at the same time. Listen, only Jesus can fix all this. Thank you for five hand claps, but I'm preaching good on this election year. Only Jesus can fix this. And we're not going to get swayed up in this election stuff, because both candidates do not qualify to be a church elder. Both candidates do not qualify to be a church leader. We don't need to try to mix this. We have to be the church and show who Jesus is and model the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God is greater than American politics, and the kingdom of God is greater than the governments of the world. And you and I can reflect it, be it, do it, see it. Can you see it? The vision God has. And so I want to end with this. I want to encourage you today. How do you get a vision for your life? What does God want to do in you? I'm not saying that the vision from God is going to be you're going to be a millionaire and have everything you ever wanted and marry the love of your life and you know, marry this model. All that's a baloney. I don't know what's ahead of you. But I know with God on your side, you will see the fulfillment of his purpose in your life. How do you get a vision for yourself? I want to encourage you today to read the Bible. I've said this so much this year. I've felt this over and over again. Please forgive me for being repetitive. I want to encourage you to read the Bible every day. Read the Bible every day and let the Bible read you. Let God get in you. Let his word and his promises, because in the Bible is the heart of God. In the Bible is God speaking to you. And you and I will see that God wants to heal us, make us whole. He wants to empower us. There's really, if you're called to be a business owner or a minister or whatever you're called to be, it doesn't matter what it is. In any genre, there's something in the Bible for you and I to receive from. And when you and I get in the scripture, we're feeding our soul the word of God and we're getting his promises. And when you read about God and when you let God read you, he then can begin to open your spirit to receive the vision he has for your life. Does that make sense today? And then I want to encourage you, read the Bible every day, and then I want to challenge you to see a need, find a need, and fill it. Find a need in your family. Find a need in your neighborhood. Find a need on your job. Find a need somewhere and be the person I'm going to serve. I'm going to do something beyond myself. Thank you for one good on the front row from a staff member. It doesn't count, but it's find a need and fill it. Every time I've found a need and stretched myself to serve young boys in you know, coaching basketball or in going to the Shalom Center and helping the homeless for a period of time, every time I've done something and been a part of the police task force here in Bloomington, every time I've done something, it's taken my time and my effort and my energy, but it's always stretched me to be a part of something more and to be a part of the solution. And I want to encourage you today. I want to encourage you today. You know, have you ever been to McDonald's in the morning? And these people are sitting around tables eating Dave McMuffins, and they're solving all the world's problems. I'll tell you right now, I'll tell you how to fix America. Give me that Dave McMuffin real quick. I'll tell you, let me get my bite first. Everything's fixed. People do that all the time. You know, I've noticed over the years, people hardly get involved. They just spend their time talking about what everyone needs to do and not doing even one thing to help change it. We don't want to be that kind of church. I want to challenge you to read the word every day, the Bible, and then I want to challenge you to find a need and fill it. Be a part of Big Brothers, Big Sisters. Be a part of the Boys and Girls Club. Be a part of a mentorship program. Join the church here. Be a part of the outreach team. Be a part of the dream team. Do something. Do something beyond yourself, because when you and I step out of ourselves, that's where the vision of God lies. God's not going to give us a vision to help us or to make us sit on a lounge chair by a swimming pool and drink diet lemonade all day long and say, oh, God bless me. Woo, hallelujah. I feel the Holy Spirit by the pool. Oh, God. Have pool time, but God says work time. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. I want to encourage you today, God has something for your life. Can you see it? And if you can't see it, ask God for it. Read the word. See a need. Fill it. Let God begin to drop in you a holy passion. Let him expand your world. God has a vision for your life. If you believe this today, give Jesus praise today. I believe he's going to do it. Can I tell you one story real quick? Can I tell you one story? I was with one of my heroes in the faith, Pastor Tommy Barnett. I was with him this past week. And he prayed over me. Man, what a moment. And he's the pastor of the Dream Center in LA. And I told him our next steps for downtown. He blessed me and prayed over me. I could feel the Holy Spirit as he hugged me and prayed over me. And they had a church of 20 people in the hood of LA given to them. And no one wanted to go. And he sent his son, who is the whitest white boy you've ever seen in your life. And he'll tip at himself. And he went, as a 20-year-old young man, he went to that church of 20 people in the middle of the ghetto. No one wanted him. And the first day, Pastor Tommy dropped off his son Matthew and pulled away crying. He said, "Did I do what was right for my son?" And as Pastor Tommy was leaving, Matthew was at the church getting started, just getting himself situated, and gunshots rang out, pop, 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 pop. And he ran at the front of the building, and there was a young man, 15 years old, that was in a Latino gang who was shot in the chest. He had been there for 10 minutes. And Matthew picked him up and held him on the front steps of the church, and that boy died in his arms. And he stayed. He saw a vision beyond himself. That boy's mother came to Jesus. That boy's family came to Jesus. That church began to grow. No one wanted to go there until all of a sudden thousands of people were attending. They had to have a new building and the hood. So then he bought the church that Amy Simple McPherson built. And today, there's over 5,000 people that fill that arena of people that are considered rejects and dejects and people that are overlooked. And it took a man to have courage, to have a vision, and stay and make a difference. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not trying to be Pastor Tommy Barnett. I'm trying to be David Norris at City Church in Bloomington, Indiana. But we're not leaving. And we see the potential of on the other side of what God wants to do. And God can do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think in your life and in our church. If you believe this today, give Jesus a great hand clap of praise. I believe it's going to happen. So please bow your heart and bow your head to heaven. If you don't know Jesus, that's where you start. If you've never received Jesus and said, "Jesus, save me," start right there and say, "Jesus, save me today." And or if you have received Jesus, but you've drifted away from God and you know in your heart you don't have peace with the Lord, it's your time to come back to him. Then come back to him and let Jesus redeem you. Let today be the day of your salvation. And you would say, "Pastor Dave, I've never done that. And or I have, but I know I need to get my life right with God." If that's you right now, heads bowed, hearts bowed, raise your hand and say, "That's me. I want to do this today." Raise your hand. I want to see you and pray for you. God bless you today. Good. God bless you. Excellent. Good. God bless you. Good. God bless you. God bless you. Good. God bless you. God bless you. Good. And then you would say, "You know, Pastor Dave, I'm doing my life by my vision, my eyesight rather. Excuse me. I'm doing life by my eyesight and I feel like I'm a human roller coaster, up and down, up and down. And I want the vision that God has for me. I want to see what God has for me. And I want to do something beyond what I see. I want God to do the impossible through me." If that's you today, go and raise your hand. I want to support you all over this room and online today. Thank you. Follow me in this prayer so no one's left out, and say, "Lord Jesus, my heart is yours and I run to you. Please forgive me for anything that's wrong in my life. I turn from that and I say yes to you. I give you all of me. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, help me live my life by believing. Give me a vision. And I run with it. And I believe you'll do it. In Jesus' name, everyone said. Let's give Jesus one more great hand of praise today.